Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
Good, Conor. Overwhelmed this week. There might be too much news to talk about, I would say.
Don't do that from the very start.
Lad, I'm setting the bar high, is all it. Big week, everyone. Stay listening, leave a like, and the rest.
I'm sure everyone knows the big news that all dropped this week. It was
fucking
gigantic.
We're all familiar with the big news. We'll get to the big news.
I like the idea of someone's at home going, what the fuck is the big news?
What am I after missing?
Did I miss like, a massive movie news?
Because we are people's only exposure to the world of movie news, as we well know, Conor. We are on the front lines of journalism in that regard.
And sometimes the problem with journalism is that there's some weeks where there isn't a big flat-out trailer, big massive news story to cover. Maybe you just have lots of little stories, and that's just as good, Shaw. Let's not argue. That's just as good as we all know and love.
Honestly, some of my favourite stories have been the smaller ones, like the time you told me there was a film where the moon was the villain.
That was a big one, to be fair.
I mean, yeah, the moon is pretty big, you know?
Pretty big. As we said, this is Movie Mondays, and we normally talk about all the movie news. Normally, we're a bit more cheery, but I feel like we've kind of given away the secret for this week's show. But if you could give us a like and review, because, I mean, it can only go up from here, down.
Like and review it before you hear it, and then don't change your decision afterwards, is what I would say.
We're going to start off Movie Mondays this week talking about our favourite man, Mr. James Gunn.
Jimmy Gunn.
I said favourite, but I mean, I've lots of favourite human beings, but he's just a man we talk about
a lot.
Who's
your favourite man, though?
Who's my favourite man?
Yeah.
No, all men are bastards. There you go, trick question.
Correct answer.
Yes! Not even you.
I would also have accepted Henry Cavill, but continue.
Oh, Cavill's a good... No, Colin Farrell. I'm going Colin Farrell. I'm sticking to it.
I support you in that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Sean, James Gunn, he came out this week. He did another little bit of an interview talking to Empire. Mm-hmm. And this is just like... It's a bit of an interesting story because he was kind of being asked not only about the projects that they're currently working on over at DC. I don't know if you know, but James Gunn currently runs DC with Peter Safran. James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, and the Suicide Squad.
And
Slither.
I should have started with Slither.
Lead with Slither, come on, man.
Director of Slither, right? James Gunn, he was then talking about not only about the projects that they're working on, but also the people that they're going to be working on, because obviously brand new slate for DC. Everyone's out and everyone's not in sometimes, but they are kind of in but not in.
They might pick some people, they might pick the same people, put them in a different role, they might pick no one and can the whole thing.
Exactly. They might tell someone to come back, then tell them the next day don't come back, then tell them go do a Warhammer movie.
They might build an entire marketing campaign around bringing someone back, and then 2 weeks later cut them completely.
To be fair, I'm gonna give Gunn and Safran a bit of leeway here in that they were there when they brought back the first person. When they were like, come back, they only got hired midway through that process.
That is fair. That is fair. And that's not on them. That wasn't their decision.
And so then they just arrive and like, who invited this guy? Oh no, we have to uninvite him.
Oh, someone's going to have to tell Henry, guys.
But James Gunn has been talking about who they're going to cast in all the future DC projects. And he says that he would love to work with all of the people that were involved in the Guardians of the Galaxy cast, but perhaps over on DC's side.
Interesting.
Now, this is interesting for several reasons, because obviously then you have this, you have kind of people picking and choosing, like some big projects, like they'd be perfect for this, they'd be perfect for that. Also, other side of the argument is maybe we just hire new people and maybe we just forget about those people and let them go off and do different things.
That is fair. Can I offer a single counterpoint?
I know who you're going to pick and I know the role you're going to pick them for. Go on.
How quickly does Dave Bautista accept the role of Bane?
I knew exactly what you mean. Like, it's the biggest, easiest slam dunk of all time.
It's the biggest, best win that DC could ever hope for at this point.
But I would then counteract that with, it's so funny because I was saying it, but I was like, but Dave Bautista as Bane though would be cool.
We kind of perfect, like.
But also, you have the other side of the fact that maybe Bautista doesn't want to come back into a superhero role. Because, I mean, he's very adamant in that he just loves acting. And he loves acting in, like, really big, fucking cool movies that he can win Oscars for. He's going for Oscars, this guy is.
That's fair. We've said it before. He's the wrestler that best transitioned to being an actor because he picked the right roles. He didn't
because he picks
anything.
Weird roles. Like, he picks different
like
roles.
Like, out there roles.
Yeah, and so, like, he's kind of covered a whole area. And I don't... Even just the way he's talking about Drax now, it's kind of like, this is my last hurrah, I'm never going to play Drax again. The vibe
he's like,
I got
love
is...
Drax, but, like, he's limited in what you
can do. Yeah, and the vibe I got was maybe he's kind of out of superhero movies, which is absolutely fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Would James Gunn coming in going, I'd like you to play Bane, but a comic book accurate Bane.
We're gonna do Nightfall, and that's the Bane you're going to play.
And break Robert Pattinson's spine.
See, would you put him in the Pattinson universe or have him as the Bane in the new mainline DC universe?
I'd put him in the Pattinson universe.
He'd be way better there, right?
Like, oh,
there's somehow
times
more
better.
Prestige to that.
a million times better, solely for the fact that Pattinson's Batman would do that, make that mistake. So if anyone hasn't read Nightfall, I know we're concentrating on one member of the whole Guardians team.
It's all I care about, I'll be honest.
To be honest, Chris Pratt's in everything, right? He's grand, right?
Bradley Cooper, he's done enough already.
He seems pretty good at acting, that guy. Vin Diesel's on another Fast and Furious 27. But
Zoe Saldana has 18 more Avatar movies to make.
She's locked in. Jimmy Cameron's got her locked in. But like, you have Bane in Nightfall. The story goes that he basically he releases all the criminals from prison, and he makes Batman spend all day, all night, for 3 days straight, I think it is, just rounding all the villains up, putting them all away one by one. He never sleeps, and he gets weaker and weaker as the days goes on, just trying to put everyone back. So he's got to go catch Riddler, got to go catch Penguin, got to go catch Joker, whatever. Yeah. Day three, Bane just shows up at the fucking mansion while Batman's like limping home after his 900th battle that fucking week, and Bane just turns and just breaks his fucking spine over his knee. cap.
Yeah, it's like the scene in The Dark Knight Rises, but way, way better. way better set up.
Because Batman's way more heroic in that he's like, he actually tries to fight, even though like it's like his 57th fight. And he's just like, okay, and this is like the big boss.
But it's literally, it's like Captain America, I can do this all day. He's like, he's just going to get back up and try and fight.
Until his spine gets broken. And I can see Pattinson's Batman just pushing himself constantly to try and capture all the criminals and then getting caught just because he's just constantly trying to catch everyone all the time.
True, but I feel like you might fall into the trap there of like, he's still, it's still quite early. Like, I don't think you could do that in the Batman 2. I think you'd have to push that to maybe the third Batman movie, in which case that might be the last Batman movie.
You're just basically mirroring Nolan.
The Nolan trilogy, yeah, which is, they're already being accused of because of a Joker tease at the end of the first movie. Like, it's a whole thing.
So I can see, I can see Pom Clementeff and Karen Gillan. I mean, Karen Gillan in fucking DC would be amazing if they could get
it. It would be so, so good.
Yeah.
And you got Sean Gunn is already technically, he's Calendar Man technically.
I mean, to be honest, he's going to be in all the movies no matter what in some form or another if James Gunn's involved.
That is very, very true. Is there any other Guardians then that we can think of? Like, that's it for Guardians cast, right?
I mean, the one casting I did see was Chris Pratt as Booster Gold.
That makes sense.
I can see that happening. So Booster Gold's character is, he's just a cocky idiot from the future who's come back in time and is pretending to be the world's greatest superhero from where his time was, but he was a loser, actually, in like the year 2900. But he's come back in time and he's like, I'm actually a massive hero where I'm from. And he's kind of just useless.
You wouldn't know it because it hasn't happened yet, but I'm gas.
Yeah, and he's kind of useless, but he spends his whole time just going for followers. Like, he just wants, like, fame more so than anything else.
That's cool. That's kind of like Star-Lord a bit in that it's just like,
yeah,
roguish, like, cult of personality thing that he's kind of building up around himself. But it's a little more sad with Booster Gold.
Yeah, would you enjoy the Guardians coming across? Because obviously, like, James Gunn's worked them, he's friends with them all. Or do you just want the clean slate? Just brand new people?
If you're making a film, you need, like, tentpole actors that you can build the thing around. And be like, here's this well-known actor that you know and like, come see our film. And then you introduce maybe smaller characters and smaller actors, or less well-known actors, who then benefit from that exposure, I would say.
Well, I mean, the counterpoint to that is the Guardians movie, in that nobody was known.
That's true.
Zoe Saldana was the biggest name in it, but she was blue most of the time in her, like, biggest movie of all time.
In the movie she was maybe most...
Star Trek films, like, they're probably her two massive roles at that point.
At the time, yeah, but... I don't think it's a bad thing to bring any of those actors across, but I wouldn't, like the way Chris Pratt is being cast as like Garfield and Mario, I wouldn't bring him across solely for the fact that you can use Chris Pratt on the poster, if that makes sense.
And I do also take Chris Pratt's, I think his selling point is like dwindling more so than...
Yeah, he had a good 10 years there of being the new hot thing in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I feel he just did too much and now we're sick of
I think he was in every movie for like so long that everyone's like, okay, well, it's just Chris Pratt. Yeah, he's just in this movie.
He's just playing Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and he's playing Chris Pratt. I think the two I would love to see are obviously Dave Bautista and Karen Gillan. I think Zoe Saldana, as you said, locked in for like the next four of Avatar movies. I don't think you're ever going to clear up her schedule at this point.
No.
Karen Gillan as a Barbara Gordon Oracle would be fucking amazing.
That would be pretty fucking good, actually. Actually, that would be class. And she's got like she's got the hair. She's got the athlete, like Nebula is as good an acrobat as Barbara Gordon is.
Yes.
So yeah, she has that kind of training and acting already. I'd love to see her do more as a character, you know, because Barbara Gordon is quite, you know, fun loving and quick and quick-witted, whereas Nebula's more serious and droll and dry. So it'd be nice to see her take that kind of a route with a superhero.
But also, I think she's a very comedic actress herself. Like, she,
she's fucking hilarious.
She's fucking hilarious. Like, so let's just let her go. Let's just see what happens. I think it'd be really great. So yeah, Karen Gillan, some sort of backer form would be great. I think Dave Bautista, I think you cast him as anyone other than Bane at this point. I feel like you're just wasting money. Like, there's loads of money on the table. Just cast him as Bane.
I think Bradley Cooper could do a very good Harvey Dent.
That'd be great. I think he'd be really good at that.
I think he has it. Like, he has the smarmy, cocky lawyer side. And then I feel he could do the other half of Two-Face.
Also, we're just going Batman world here. Like, we're not going all of DC.
This is
like
true.
There's so many other characters you could pick from. Like, you could have Bradley Cooper as Hal Jordan. Just off the top of my head. Yeah. I don't think anyone wants to touch Green Lantern, but go on.
Oliver Queen. He'd be a decent Oliver Queen, I would
say.
Oh,
he would. He would be great as Oliver Queen.
He'd have the billionaire thing down. Though I think if anyone but Stephen Amell gets cast as Hal, I think there'll be riots.
From all that Arrow season 6, that's where it got good, Sean. That's where it got back
good.
Yeah,
it got
again.
Real bad for a while, then it got back good again, but no one watched it.
And then it got real bad canceled. Again.
Yep.
So we're going to move on to our next piece of news. I was just excited to see who we would come up with, maybe in a sort of bringing the Guardians across. We've got just Batman here, but send in your ideas of across the... Because there's fucking, as you can see through our Hero Zeros, there's like... millions of them that it could
fucking
be.
Heap of DC characters. Most of them are shit, granted.
That's true, but you don't want to say it out loud. He's out of line, but he's right. Sean, I'm going to say some words now that you are not going to enjoy. Because I have Tron Tree is back on with Jared Leto. He's back in for Tron Tree. Yes.
That headline got worse and worse by the fucking word, didn't it? Is Jared Leto in Tron Legacy?
Yes.
Who is he in Tron Legacy? Some weird computer man?
Oh, I think so. I'm trying to remember. So the Tron, Leto has, I mean, he's been leading the franchise for many years, Sean. He's the big deal in that franchise. We all know and love Jared. This is your first time listening to us talk about Jared. Jared is one of the worst people.
He's just a horrendous, like, he's just a miserable human to be around, by all accounts.
As an Irish person, we're going to call him No Crack, and we're going to call him Bad Vibes. We're going to leave him as that.
No Crack, Bad Vibes, Notions, and just dry.
Dry. He's dry. That's exactly what he is. That's not a... I like how our insults are just, he's dry, like. He's fucking dry.
He's no crack. Like, there's no fun about him. He's just miserable.
So Jared, I mean, he's had a few years of, like, massive stardom with Morbius, Morbius re-release, Morbius hopefully re-release.
We can only hope.
He had the Joker. That was pretty good.
Blade Runner 2049, he was
yeah,
in
he,
for
he
a bit.
Ruined that one as well.
Yeah. House of Gucci.
He was terrible in that. Yeah, he was.
Dallas Buyers Club. That
I won an Oscar for that. You got to give him that.
Yeah,
okay, you won an Oscar for
him. Yeah, look, credit for that. He's a bad man.
He's a bull, boy. He's bad vibes.
American Psycho. Gets axed to the head. Fight Club gets the shit kicked out of him. I'm sensing
two of my favourite movies, Sean. They're my faves. Tron 3 is now officially happening. And Jared is coming back. Hot off Morbius' success, he's bringing back Tron 3, which is a movie we were all asking for. I'm pretty sure Tron has a massive fan base, which is pretty cool. A franchise, him coming back to star in number 3, I feel like might be a hindrance to the whole project.
Now I didn't see his name in the Tron, in the filmography for Tron Legacy, so I don't know what his attachment to this franchise is. Like, it's apparently, from what I saw just googling there, Tron Ares, Ares is god, the god of war in Greek mythology, so maybe it's some kind of computer war that's happening. I don't know. Why get Jared in, though, is the real question.
Sorry, I said he was leading it. What I meant is that he's been attached to it. Sorry, since he's been attached to it since, like, 2017, I think. they've been trying to get this thing off the ground.
Right, okay.
I do apologise. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean...
So he might necessarily be starring in this. He could just be, you know, producing or directing, perhaps.
No, no, I'm pretty positive he's in it.
Does he have to be, though? Does he have to be in it?
But what if he wasn't? Just everyone huddling. What if he wasn't?
If there's an actor, if there's an actor in Hollywood who has proven to not be a safe bet within the last 2 to 3 years, surely it's him. And also maybe The Rock, depending on how you look at things.
I think The Rock is still bankable. I still think Rock's name brings you in at least 400 million.
Okay, but Jared doesn't. That's what you're telling me.
No, I think Jared might be the Jared ever.
I mean... Okay, so let's say, okay, we put Jared in a simulation and then we make a movie about that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he has it in him to play the kind of hero that a Tron movie needs, which is like generally good-hearted, nice guy, which is like what every Tron movie has been so far.
I literally threw the story in just so we could shit on Jared.
I don't, like, without retreading old ground, I don't know how much more I have in me. I just think... yeah. Like, the fact that he's attached to it absolutely guarantees that I will not see this film, basically.
Not only will I not get watch it, I will not watch the trailer. I will not be associated with it.
Frankly, I'm annoyed we're talking about it right now. But it has to be said, he's a terrible man, don't support his films. Or his music. There, I said
it. Oh, lads. Somebody put up a tweet. It was one of those where Jared's been a massive fan of Tron since he was 13. Just Google Jared Leto and 13. Age 13. And if you really want to find more on the story.
That's fucking hilarious.
Oh, he's a bad man. If you're still liking Jared, just look up the time that he made himself blind on Blade Runner 2049. And then they had to pay an assistant to walk him around the set, even though he's clearly able to see.
Or just any of the shit he did on Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Any of this kind of thing.
Or we don't Morbius.
Look at Morbius. Just look at anything to do with Morbius.
Well, no, that was a bright spot. That was a bright spot. We won't hold that against him, because Morbius is obviously the best movie of 2021 and 2022.
That's true. Release it one more time, we'll prove it. No, really.
I swear.
We were all busy that day. I'm sorry. Look, we were all moving.
I was washing my car, but genuinely, release it again, I'll be locked in, lads. I swear I'll go see it this
time. I'll be there day one. Day one.
We're moving on to our next piece of news. And this is a story that really kind of broke my heart. But Channing Tatum. Now, Ed Ball posted in our Detective Developments discussion group on Facebook that Channing Tatum's been doing interviews this week, because obviously Magic Mike is coming out. And so he was talking to Vanity Fair, and he was just having a chat just generally about his career. What happened in the last few years? I'm not going to say what went wrong, but like, what made him take time off, and like, what kind of, like, what happened? And so what occurred, what came out of the interview, was the fact that the movie Gambit really impacted him, right? And that's like, because he put everything into getting the movie Gambit off the ground in like late 2016 to like 2019.
I think, was it even earlier he was pitching it? Like he'd wanted to do it for years.
Yeah.
Gambit's his favourite superhero.
And Channing Tatum, 2014, Channing Tatum is like the biggest movie star, or top five biggest movie stars in the world. Like, from...
Yeah.
Like, in just in terms of, if especially in a certain age demographic. I know that's like a bit of hyperbole, but you know what I mean? Like, he was massive at that point. And he was in basically every movie for like 5 years non-stop, because he was so bankable. But... what happened then was, they didn't get the movie made, Fox got bought out by Disney, and the movie got completely scrapped.
Yeah.
And so, moving on from that, he kind of took a few years off. He said like he was in a bad way in terms of he just never got it off the ground. But now he's kind of coming back out with Magic Mike, and he also has a few more plans, Sean, lined up, because I have news of Channing Tatum's, his production team have actually bought the rights to do another Ghost movie. Yes, they're planning to remake Ghost with him playing the Patrick Swayze role.
Okay, here's the thing, right? Okay, one, I hate that this is happening. Stop remaking movies, make something new.
Yeah.
But...
yeah.
if you want like a modern day equivalent to how popular Patrick Swayze, or Patrick Swayze as we call him, how popular he was back in the day, Channing Tatum is it, man. Like, yeah, he is. Also, I feel he just likes pottery a lot.
He does. I bet he does like, and you know what, I bet he's good at, he's one of those people that he just looks good at things.
Yeah, he's just naturally good, and he's sexy when he's doing pottery. Like, it's not fair.
And me and you look like fucking idiots. Like giraffes trying to make some pots.
You ever see us doing pottery? It can't be shown online. Like,
So I mean, obviously Ghost, if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, is a movie from the year 1990, Sean. You had
good
director Jerry Zucker, and you also had Demi Moore, pretty good, and also I would know that lady from Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, Whoopi Goldberg. Yes, she won an Oscar, I'm pretty positive, for that movie. So it actually banked like $500 million back then.
That's huge, which, in 1990.
Yeah, 1990 is pretty big money. And it also got a Best Picture Oscar nomination.
And it is one, also one of the like iconic like rom-coms that's ever been made. Mm. Like, or just romance movies, I suppose. Which begs the question again, why remake it? But look, we like to support Channing on this podcast.
See, we're in a difficult situation here in that we continuously agree that remakes of movies that were good is just silly, and maybe just do movies that are new that are good.
Yeah, but sometimes we like an actor enough to be like, hey, let's just support him. That's the kind of good faith you get when you're not a terrible, terrible person, Jared.
Yeah, Channing Tatum, he's just, and also his sadness over Gambit makes us like, he just loves Gambit. And we've kind of discussed Channing Tatum since the very start, in that one of my favourite stories we ever covered was, remember when he was going to shoot Gambit in his own backyard?
He's looking into making it himself. Extrapolated the story that he was making it in his backyard.
He was going to make it himself, and I was just like, that is, the man is just, he's just determined.
He's just dying to make Gambit. Like, do you think there's room for just a Gambit cameo in Deadpool 3? Like, any space for, like, he's leaving the Fox X-Men universe, and he's just like, oh, hey, Gambit, didn't realise you were here the whole time, and it's just Channing Tatum.
I mean, I could see that happening. I feel like they need to give that to him. Just give him one time, once being the actor, the character, and just so he could have it.
Because one of the most heartbreaking things is, remember that Comic-Con panel, and he came out wearing a Gambit t-shirt at the X-Men panel? Yes. And just nothing came of it.
Oh, Channing!
It's so harsh. He deserves better, honestly.
Let him be Ghost.
Just let him be.
Like,
let
it's
him
a
do
bad
this.
Idea, and it's not going to make any money, but just let him be Ghost.
Just, if that makes him happy, I'm willing to let it happen. I'm willing to let him remake any movie he wants.
Just can't be Gambit.
If you Google Gambit Channing Tatum, you get a Wikipedia page called Gambit / unproduced film.
Lads. Oh, he was so close multiple times.
He was just ready.
And he was starring in like G.I. Joe, and he was like, I don't fucking give a shit about G.I. Joe, just let me be Gambit.
Like, yeah, like back from like 2009 even, like when Origins Wolverine was happening, he was in talks to like do something with Gambit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking.
Okay, so I mean, I just wanted to cover that. So we could be getting a remake of Ghost starring Channing Tatum, so we're all aware. And John, I'm going to move on to another headline that, look, literally, I'm just going to say the headline, and I'm genuinely intrigued as to how you're going to react, because I feel like you're going to have the same reaction that I had upon hearing this. So here we go. Sequel to The Passion of the Christ is reportedly filming this year.
I mean,
now, as two Christian boys from Christian Ireland, Sean,
there's a lot more story to tell, you know.
We've all of a sudden, it's very similar to the Gladiator movie. Once the main character dies at the end of the first one, it's tough to get a sequel out of it. But, I mean,
if only the main character could come back somehow.
Mm. Ooh. It's also called, I think, The Passion of the Christ Resurrection.
No, it's not. It's not called Passion of the Christ Resurrection. So what's this? He comes back from the dead, like as Jesus is wont to do, and yeah. just goes around visiting the apostles and shit, is it?
It's one of these stories, right? It's very clear. Look, we're not here to insult anyone's faith. It's more so that we grew up in a very religious Catholic Ireland schools, yeah. especially. And so we get beaten with this. So this just becomes funny to us that there's got to be...
It's just, we've heard it, like stories about. I remember Passion of the Christ coming out and it being a big talking point, like on the radio
in 2004.
Like, oh, yeah, it's like, oh, they're talking about Jesus. Is that allowed?
Yeah, you're
not allowed to talk about Jesus. Can't talk about Jesus, lads.
But here, it's one of those where I literally never even thought about it. But they're doing a sequel called Resurrection because obviously, sure, it's in. Have you not read the fucking source material that they're taking it from? Like, sure,
there's another cliffhanger there. After the resurrection, it's more of just like going around telling people to be sound to each other, and then he goes off back up to heaven. Like that's the movie. Like, where's the human drama in the whole thing? Unless it's dealing with like the apostles and how they like slowly drift apart after Jesus dies.
So, emotionally.
Yeah, yeah.
It turns into Marriage Story.
What if it's a prequel? And it's, because, you know, it's
Doctor. There's a young Anakin Skywalker.
It's it follows Judas and how he fell.
It follows him and he's a pod racer.
There's still a pod racing scene somehow.
Just the sand people. They took his parents and he just got turned into a bit of a bitch.
Like, it's such a baffling choice of a movie. Like,
well, don't worry, because Mel Gibson has directed it, so that's pretty good, isn't it?
This is my follow-up question. Is Mel involved?
Mel is directing the sequel, yeah, and it is actually called The Passion of the Christ Resurrection. I was not lying. That is the name they have it working under.
Right, okay. Mm. I mean, look, in a similar vein, Google, if you want to know how much he knows about the source material, Google Mel Gibson Judaism, because let me tell you, there are some articles. He knows heaps, you know, so why not give him millions to make another move?
And you know what, he just keeps being quietened by Hollywood, they just won't let him make anything.
They won't let him do any more work because of things he might have said in the past.
And didn't I read he was in like 7 movies last year?
Yeah, he got around last year, didn't he?
But he's not allowed work. That's the problem. That is the problem these days. I mean, you can't say nothing. Can't say anything these days, Sean. Especially things that are offensive.
PC gone mad. So what happened is Hollywood got woke and went broke, clearly. Do you bring back the same actor who played Jesus in the first one?
Oh, they are, yes. Yeah, yeah,
oh, okay. Good.
Jim Caviezel?
Not familiar with him, but I guess he played Jesus that one time.
Look, it's a defining role for the lad, to be fair to him.
I mean, look, if you start off and you play Jesus...
Yeah, where is to go from there?
Huh, do you know what? He was originally cast to play Cyclops in X-Men.
Fucking hell.
There was a bit of a scheduling conflict.
He's just constantly on set. What if Jesus had laser eyes though, Mel?
I've done a lot of laser eye training, you know.
What if he just stared really intently at somebody and fucking burnt them in half? A bit of laser eyes wouldn't go astray. I mean, he's the most powerful person around. Like, he's like trying to turn it into an X-Men movie.
He's like, so there's this character called Gambit. My friend Channing, he's really eager.
He can come
the
in.
The Apostle Gambit. Also, just very quickly, he was also in a movie called Paul, Apostle of Christ, and he played Saint Luke. Now, he's double dipping on religious imagery there.
Around.
I just want to say he's getting around. But I think why does this movie need to be made of all things? Mm. Why does Passion of the Christ need a sequel? Resurrection.
I think the first one said everything it needed to say.
Honestly, yeah. And it was, the first one was absolutely, categorically made thinking, no, we'll never make a follow-on to this. And like, what's the stakes? What is the stakes when Jesus
We need to go back and watch the first one. We need to go back and watch the first one to see if there was any hints of a sequel.
Are we doing that for the Lazarus Pit, are we, on the Patreon?
They were universe building as a time shot. That's what I mean. Well, I'd say they need a fucking Lazarus Pit, so you would. To be fair to the lad.
And look, I will say, I don't like Mel Gibson. Hacksaw Ridge is a pretty good movie, I will say. Yeah. But I think Garfield carries that. Andrew, not the cat.
The cat, but also the cat.
I mean, they both love lasagna, famously.
They love lasagna. I mean, do you think Garfield Andrew likes lasagna?
I'd say Andrew Garfield likes a lasagna. Probably a veggie lasagna, I will say. Just you know, Hollywood types.
But he seems like a nice man, though. So we'll always back him as well.
Oh, no. Again, Jared, this is the good faith that a man can build. You know,
Jared,
he's just not
Jared and Mel.
Jared and Mel. We're getting a little circle going here. And just start being nice and say you're sorry for once. And then you can then you can do whatever you want with your lasagna.
I mean, speaking of people that we will automatically forgive no matter what they do, Michael B. Jordan, his next movie, which will be a Rainbow Six movie based off the video game and Tom Clancy's books and all, you might take just another movie. Well, John Wick's director, Chad Stahelski, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, probably not, he is down to direct the Rainbow Six movie starring Michael B. Jordan. So you got the John Wick director doing a Tom Clancy Rainbow Six movie with Michael B. Jordan leading it. Sean, how do we feel?
Oh, conflicted, honestly. Because it's a movie adaptation of a video game adaptation of a book series. But it's cast one of our favourite actors, Michael B. Jordan, of course. Yeah. Director of John Wick, that's fucking huge. The gunplay would be unreal. But like, what's special about Rainbow Six out of all the shooty games, Connor? Do you know? Have you played it?
I mean, I have. What's special about it? I don't really understand what's special about it. Like, they were probably ahead of their time when they first started coming out, and then they got a big name like that. But I can't think of, like, I always think of them and Medal of Honor as like two of the shooty games from the early 2000s that were all both very good.
And very good functionally and playably as games. They're really entertaining to play. But like, I always thought like Call of Duty was the one that had like some level of story that you pay attention to.
No, I find Rainbow Six, because obviously you're working as a team. So you got a teammate. So then that kind of added an extra layer of like you're working together tactics wise. Trying to figure it out. I remember back in the day, I had like a really, really early Rainbow Six game on like the very old PC that could only work solitaire. And it was like before the mission began, you would have to tell each team. So you'd have four teams of two, and you would basically tell them exactly where you wanted to go, and like on a map, and you would draw it out. Like if you were attacking,
that's quite cool.
And there's like a hostage situation. Well, the issue was I was like five, and then I would play, and immediately I would have all my men run directly into the building and just die. And they were like, "Oh, you lost again."
The old front-on approach. See, we never had Rainbow Six. We had Counter-Strike was our game.
Oh yes, of course.
Which again was like teams. But there was none of this like planning or organising. You just kind of ran off and did your own thing. How does that translate to a movie, though, is my question. Like, is it just, it's just going to be a movie about a special group of
soldiers?
Well,
I mean, the novel is based off, like, there's a main character called Clark, I think. And he basically sets up the team that are called the Rainbow Six, and it's like counter-terrorism. And they basically go around taking down terrorists all around the world. So you could then do that in the movie where there's the baddest of the bad fucking terrorist. Michael B. Jordan's the best of the best. He got the ragtag team together to try and save the president's son or daughter.
Okay. It's sounding a bit propaganda-y, I will be honest. Like, you know how Top Gun got all that money from the military? Like, I feel like the military might just be like, and there's some left over for Rainbow Six.
Yeah, but it's the John Wick director with Michael B. Jordan, Sean.
Look, that's all great. It could be the Passion of the Christ director with Jared Leto. But if the military is involved...
Actually, now that you mention it, really, that's the combo you need.
And look, if you want someone to play Jesus, who would jump at the chance to play Jesus... It is Jared fucking Leto.
We're really shitting on the two of them a lot this episode. But you know what? You can't shit enough. You cannot shit enough.
Not when they're concerned.
I mean, I could see this being like, remember the movie a few years ago that Michael B. Jordan did? What was that shooty movie that he did? That he was like a former agent, and then he went there. And it was very similar to John Wick.
Right.
I think it was like an Amazon movie, maybe. But
you're
it was basically,
like
he was like a stone cold killer.
You? You're not thinking of Extraction or anything like that.
It might be Extraction. I don't know. Sean is looking it up. I know for a fact it was all right.
Without Remorse? It's a Tom Clancy movie where he plays a man called John Clark.
Yeah.
Now
that could be it.
All right, okay. So this is just it's another one of these. Is what's
yeah. So it's
now.
Basically that. Yeah, but he's now going to set up the whole team. So the movie of that one is that he seeks revenge after his wife dies, and they're killed by a group of elite Russian operatives, Sean. So basically the plot of John Wick, but in a different form. So now you've got the director of John Wick, but now he's got a whole team. You could have a situation where like you have like six guys break into a building, and I mean, I'm already copying a different movie here, but then they go through floor by floor taking people out in very fancy ways.
Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty ready. Now, I just looked it up. First of all, Jamie Bell is also in this movie. He becomes deputy director later on, spoilers. But at the end of the movie, they propose the creation of a multinational counter-terrorism team, codename Rainbow. Mm-hmm. So we're talking sequels. That's what's happening here. This isn't coming out of the blue. I didn't even know this movie was made.
And it had Michael B. Jordan. You didn't even know. Like, that's... He's like a friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Oh, he's been on many a time. Yeah.
Many a time.
I just think... Look, it worked once. It made... Let me tell you how much it made. Release. Asher came out on streaming during COVID, Connor.
Yeah.
So it essentially
also,
made no
Chad,
money.
Chad, who is down to direct this movie, he has directed all of the John Wick movies and he's also directing John Wick Chapter 4.
Right. So he knows what he's doing in terms of guns and fights and stuff.
Oh, he's the best of the best. He's literally the best of the best.
Okay, well look, what we'll do then is we'll dress up in our combat fatigues and we'll go watch this in a cinema and we'll see how long it takes us to get kicked out.
In Ireland, if you did that, the police would show up and go, lads, what's going on here? Lads, come on.
Now. Better to be doing with your time.
Genuinely, cop on to yourself. That's all I'll say to you now, right? You've got notions about yourself, and I'm not a big fan of it. But
Michael B. Jordan is also going to be in the I Am Legend sequel. I forgot that was going to happen.
Is he? He's also producing the Static Shock movie that's apparently coming out, but probably won't be now.
Yeah, he's also developing the Black Superman series as well. The Val Zod
thing on HBO. I'm pretty sure that's off the table now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I mean, we have to support him because he's a very nice man, but at the same time there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm interested to see what happens. Let's just wait and see. Let him hold up, let him cook, Sean, is what I would say.
Let him cook, let the man cook, absolutely.
And what a chef he is.
Let's also give weekly updates.
Weekly, hourly updates on Michael B. Jordan and how he is. Today, grand. He's absolutely fine as always. But Sean, we're moving on. Do you remember him in Lie to Me?
Yeah, he was great in Lie to Me.
He was great in Lie to Me. You haven't seen Lie to Me? What a show.
Tim Roth, he loved to see it.
Tim Roth, and he taught me that like if somebody says something and they move their nose slightly or they move their lips slightly, they must be lying. And so I spent a good five years just looking at people's faces like, he's definitely lying. I don't know why, but he just is.
Like L.A. Noir, that game. Remember that game? People could lie to you.
I feel like L.A. Noir was more so like they would lie and then they would really very like obviously look around in like a very I didn't kill him. And then they'd like shuffle and then like their eyes would do the back and forth like side to side.
Yeah, it wasn't very subtle. But hey, Michael B. Jordan's a better actor than that. So remake Lie to Me is what I think I'm saying here.
He takes the Tim Roth role in the new Lie to Me.
That would be class, actually.
Yeah. Okay, we're moving on to our next piece of news. And this is just a small thing, Sean, that I thought you'd be interested to know, is that Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon. This is the science fiction epic that Zack Snyder's currently working on. It's going to Netflix. It's all well and good. But we've now found out from Variety that the Rebel Moon movie is not going to be just one movie. It's going to be a part one, part two, which is what we kind of do, but has now been confirmed. Thankfully, Sean. So the Rebel Moon will live up to that description, as the producer has come out and said, Rebel Moon is too epic to be just one movie. Sean?
This is going
to
be the most middling sci-fi movie that anyone's ever made. Now, look, I'm sure it'll look fantastic, but, like, I should be nice. I keep telling people to make new things. Zack Snyder is making something new, so let's support it.
Yes.
Let's not hype it up till the end of the world, though. That will make things worse, I feel.
I feel like coming in saying it's too epic to be one movie just from the get-go, I feel like you're setting them up to fail. I just be like, it's real good, and we think there was a lot in it. He again came, and this is his quote, Sean, I thought you'd like this about Mr. Zack Snyder. Zack's come in with so much passion. This is a film that he's had in his mind for decades. As you know, he spent so much time working on other people's IPs at other studios. We worked with him on Army of the Dead, and we did things that others couldn't do. We made a film, and then a prequel, and launched a live experience. Oh, Lord. With Rebel Moon, he wanted to push the envelope again. When we saw how big the world he created was, we thought it would be better served as two pieces, because the world was just so big. Sean?
Why do people have to sell things like this? Like, why are people justifying their own jobs by writing 90-paragraph press releases to just say, oh, we thought the film would work better told in two parts? What's the point? There's so much to deal with all of the time. Why do I need to read all of this as well?
There's so much to deal with. Just on an emotional level, there's so much to deal with. I just cannot do it right now.
This might be a me thing. Maybe I'm having a bad week. But just stop trying to sell everything all the time. Also, stop making everything a subscription while you're at it. Let me own something. Why not?
Let's just have a general discussion about Sean's mental health.
And oh, look, it'll be a short discussion, my friend.
Not good. Anyway, back to you.
Back to you in the studio.
So, Sean, are you excited about Rebel Moon now that we know it's two parts?
I'll watch it when it comes out. The fact that it's two parts has not affected my excitement whatsoever, I will say.
Interesting.
I'd wager that's the same for most people.
I would say so. But, Sean, I know something that will excite you is our next story.
It's exhausting.
I've just literally broken you down for the whole hour.
Something happened. You just unzipped me.
See, here's the issue, right? If I can't find something that really is, like, massive, I then take personal pride in just picking stories just to try and irk you.
That's fair. That's all right. Someone has to be irked. And if that's content, that's content. Me.
It just entertains me. That's just to see you get worked up and then go, I just can't, Connor. I just
can't,
I simply
anymore.
Cannot. So, Sean, the Flash movie. This is another headline that really made me laugh. And this is why I'm giving it to you, because I just want you to join in. Because I have the Flash movie merch reveals a third evil version of Ezra Miller's DC hero.
I think Ezra Miller is already the evil version of the DC hero.
It's interesting you say that, because I thought the exact same joke when I read it.
Right. Well, I'm glad I got in there first.
Yeah. So, Sean, I mean, Ezra, the movie's coming out. We're all very excited. Ezra Miller's Flash. They're going to be excellent, I think. And the movie's going to make millions, billions.
Trillions.
You told me it's your most anticipated movie of the year.
Dune 2 is also coming out. Like,
yeah,
Guardians 3, that's up there.
They're second and third behind this greatness. And I mean, Ezra went on that fucking course. Sean, now, like...
The weekend course.
Like, they went on a weekend course and now they're sorry. We're sorry we did all those crimes.
But let's just put out the movie anyway. It'll be grand. So, because we knew there was going to be two Barry Allens in this movie. That was in the trailer already. And you also had... is it Liz Allen? Or not Allen yet, I suppose. But
What do you mean?
There was someone else as a Flash in the trailer already. There was two Barrys and one other person.
There was a Barry and, well, Wally wasn't there. Johnny Quick.
Am I wrong here?
Bart Allen?
Iris West we see in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like another speedster. Iris West is always in all the Flash stuff.
But is she dressed as a speedster in the trailer? I can't remember. It's come out four times.
I have to be honest with you, I haven't seen the trailer that much. Because I'm just not that interested, unfortunately. But now that we know that there's going to be the Black Flash is the name of it.
Right.
And the Black Flash normally appears in the comics before the deaths of the Flash in certain they appear just before the death of the character.
Right, okay.
And so I'm very interested to see how this is. It's like a Grim Reaper kind of vibe.
Oh, okay. So you see the Black Flash and you know you're about to die, kind of.
Because it like returns the Flash to like the Speed Force.
Okay, interesting. So do you think then that the move is to kill off Barry Allen in this?
I mean, it would solve a lot of problems,
wouldn't it? And then just quietly end the universe from there.
And then just quietly introduce Wally West and then move on with all of our lives.
Could be cool to have like in whatever new rebooted universe. Maybe some of the stuff is like legend now. So like, yeah. Barry Allen is like this legendary speedster that Wally West takes influence from.
And the thing about the Flash is that they like, obviously Barry Allen now with the Flash series, he's massive. But like, yeah, from the late 90s, early 2000s, like Justice League Unlimited, that animated show. I mean, yeah, or Justice League in general, the animated show. Like, Wally West is the Flash there. So like, a lot of that audience now that grew up watching that are all in their late 20s, 30s, 40s. And they're kind of now like, well, Wally West is the one they grew up with on the screen. So it would make perfect sense that you just were like, okay, well, Barry Allen, he dies. That's how we get rid of Ezra. Then after that, once Ezra's gone, then we can bring in Wally West and then they can take over.
It's kind of a neat way of tying it up, isn't it? Like, and you can give Barry Allen then that kind of heroic send off if you want.
Like, Barry Allen sacrifices themselves just for like to save the universe in Flashpoint. That's kind of it somehow.
Yeah, like it has to become one with the Speed Force to balance or stabilize it or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like
a classic that's a classic Flash storyline. You got to keep running as fast as you can, you can't stop.
Just forever. Just keep running.
I
think it could work. I think the less that sticks around of the old stuff, the better going forward in DC would be my opinion. So if they can think of a good character way to write him out, that's what I would go for.
Speaking of that, our big news story of the week is actually a big non-news story, but is a news story. That is Jason Momoa has teased a major DC news coming, but he said it in a way that is so obviously Lobo, it is hard not to cover this story. What's been rumoured for weeks is that Jason Momoa is no longer going to be Aquaman and he actually wants to be Lobo. He had a meeting with James Gunn and Peter Safran a few weeks ago, and what was said to be very positive in terms of keeping him around in the DC world. And he says, I got some really good news, great news at Warner Bros. Amazing news. I wish I could tell you, but here it is. Peter, I love you. James, I love you. To the future, he said, right? So then he also has then come out and is like, I could be playing anyone. I think his exact quote was like, I'm going to be Aquaman forever. And like he's like, I'm Aquaman for all times. I don't want people coming in taking that, but I could also play other people. I can be lots of different things at once.
Could he not have just held off on this? Like, instead of saying all of this vague stuff, just wait like 2 weeks when they inevitably announce it.
But I mean, he said like, he came out and he was like apparently cheering after the fucking meeting. that he was like, this is excellent. This is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted.
This is the best news.
This is the best news. He's the only... Gal Gadot came out crying. And Ben Affleck came out just with his head in his hands. Henry Cavill kicked out a window.
Those two came out carrying like a box of all the shit that was on their desk.
Like. Henry Cavill was kicked out by security. And fucking Moore's like, yes, this is perfect.
He's done really well out of this. Honestly, look, he's a good cast for it, is the thing. So I'm really not mad at that.
Also, I should mention that he's also yet to play Aquaman in Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, which you forgot is also coming out this year at Christmas.
Has that been filmed?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Is that coming out? Should that come out?
It's coming out December 25th. 2023.
I really don't think it is.
No, it is.
Don't prove me wrong, but...
It is. I think they are releasing it, and then they're just moving on, and he's going to be Lobo.
And then, it's DC 2024 is going to be completely different.
I think he's like the last bastion, December 25th. And then after that, they're like, right, from now on, clean slate after this year, which is like another year lost, unfortunately.
But it's a year they can be doing setup and pre-production for other stuff. Like, we'll still get, I assume, announcements of what's happening in the reboot.
Like, the vibe I was getting was he was like, I'm so excited, I've landed my dream role. And they're like, well, like Aquaman. He's like, yes, that's
Look,
the role.
I can play Aquaman, that's no problem.
I'm like, Aquaman is good, but he's not my dream role. He said at the time that his DC dream was coming true.
Jesus Christ, get fucked, Aquaman.
So, I mean, would you like to see... if we got DC Lobo, and then they don't even have an Aquaman anymore, but now they have a Lobo, it's really strange, but also kind of cool, and I could see him appearing in the Suicide Squad sequel.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, I instead of just trying to cast the big three or whatever, just cast who you think is right for certain parts. And make those movies work. Like, The Suicide Squad is a great movie, even though most of the characters are basically unknowns. It's because they're the right people playing them, and they're written cleverly.
I think The Suicide Squad is, like, so... I'm not going to say underrated, because I think a lot of people who've seen it are like, that's really good. It didn't make a lot of money, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
unappreciated might be the word.
Yeah, like, it was so good. Like, just go back and watch it, and just even turn... Like, that shot in Homelander. That shot in John Cena's character?
Peacemaker.
Yeah, basically the same person. But Peacemaker's helmet, and him fighting...
Yeah, that fight scene.
With Rick Flagg is so fucking good, just in the reflection. But yeah, I mean, I think that's it for this week's Movie Monday, Sean. A lot of DC news, a lot of stories just to annoy you. But next week, I'm hoping for some big trailers are dropping.
Look, knowing our luck, they will all drop tomorrow morning.
Yeah, probably.
But hey, I survived. I'm better for it. I'm more excited about DC than ever. Would you
what
like
about Passion of the Christ 2?
Look, I'm more excited about Jesus than ever.
Yeah, take us out, John.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We'll be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero Zero, and next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big thank you to all of our wonderful patrons over on Patreon. Shoutouts go to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson. Fun facts with waffles. Did you know that the kiwi lays the largest egg in ratio to its body of any bird?
Jesus.
Did you know that, Connor?
Is that some crack?
Some crack. Oh, very good. Eggshellent. Thank you also to David Clark, Sean Chuckle in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jamieson, Dominic, Anna Iris Walrus Forever Helmroos, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, The Adventures of Indiana Jones and the Franchise That Just Won't Die, Connor and Lorraine had completely forgot to shorten their long nickname until catching up on the podcast recently. Well, thanks for changing it now. Russ, character limit be damned. It was just a temporary setback in this whole naming malarkey, but I'm still just Russ. Perfect. And Jackson Bruheim. Look, you're entertaining Connor, at least. But thank you all for the continued support. If you want to get access to the Patreon, get all of our movie reviews and things that we have over there, head on over to patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Link to that in the description. Also is the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Divilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is heroesforhirepodcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Long.
I've been Sean Liam.
I shall see y'all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.